is The Fantasy Show with Sho Ali and Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's Sunday morning, and you know what that means. It's time for The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Sho Ali, Matt Marchese here with you. Happy New Year, everyone. It's 2023. May this year bring you all the good fortune in the world. If you are awake right now, God bless you. Our technical director, Austin Mackey, as well, who heroically made it in here on time to get us on the air after what I assume was a long and celebratory night. Austin, I'm not sure. He's shaking his head. Okay, for all of you one as well, we made it to the new year one more time. If you're still tuning in, I'm guessing you also made it to the championship final of your respective league or leagues. Congratulations. If so, it is an impressive accomplishment to really grind out the fantasy season, right? Like, it's actually pretty crazy. First of all, the fantasy season's almost done, but it is very impressive if you are competing for a championship. So here we are as well to put a bow on the season. And of course, it comes with your questions and text messages on the People's Text Line at 590-590. We will get to your messages at the top of the next hour. But Mr. Marchese, Happy New Year, first of all. Welcome to 2023. How did you ring in things at midnight? Did you like drink the night away, dancing, good cheer, all of the things that you are like so known for around these parts?
Firstly, a happy new year to you and yours as well. And again, shout out to Austin because he did sound like he had a good night last
he did.
Night. Which is always good. I rang in the new year watching that incredible game between Georgia and Ohio State last night. My wife was asleep. My daughter actually tried to push to get to midnight. I'm not going to lie. She obviously does not know the difference, but after trying to put her to sleep three times last night, the third time was the charm. She did fall asleep before midnight. And then the missed field goal to basically end the game between Georgia and Ohio State last night was right at midnight. And as soon as that was done, my betting was done for the night. I put my phone down and my wife looks at me and says, "What time is it?" I said, 12:01, Happy New Year's. And then we both fell asleep. So that was our incredibly jam-packed, entertaining night last night.
Excellent. I did not watch either of those games, but I did see that the missed field goal at the end left the ground in 2022 and landed in 2023, depending on where you watched it, right? So that's pretty, that's kind of fun. I think we might have actually already seen the most exciting sports moment, perhaps, of 2023 in the first, like, second of the new year, which is kind of funny. But I don't know about you, but my wife, she was sitting on the couch next to me at midnight. It was like 11:58, and I was playing Halo with one of my best friends. We dummied these poor team of kids. I felt kind of bad because we won. Like, the game was like 1st-to-50. We won like 50-10 at midnight, just in time for me to say Happy New Year to him first, and then I turned to my wife and said Happy New Year. She actually was on the phone with her mom, so I don't think she mind too much.
That is the thing that dreams are made of. I'm not gonna lie. Like, it for me, it would be Call of Duty doing that. Although I'm not very adept at Call of Duty, but that would be the one. I actually thought about playing video games last night to see who was on. Like, I'm sure I had some friends that were on because, you know, we're all so cool at this age. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna watch these football games because, you know me, I like to sprinkle a couple of bets. And last night's game was an absolute roller coaster for me on the gambling side of things. It was an incredible game to watch, but my goodness, it was definitely. I felt like Ron Burgundy in a glass case of emotion last night.
I know I'm not the biggest college football fan, Marchese, but I do know that one of the most exciting receivers in the draft, I got to imagine he's going to declare, I think, next year, I would imagine. But Marvin Harrison Jr., who, as the name might suggest, is the son of Hall of Famer Colts wide receiver Marvin Harrison. He looks great, doesn't he? Like, I saw some of the highlights from his game. I mean, I don't actually know where the wide receiver rankings are for, like, the various college programs in America right now. Like, I usually will look into that in, like, you know, end of February. After the Super Bowl, I'll take a look at that, and we'll get geared up for the draft and so on. But, man, he looks great. Like, he looks like he's going to make a team very happy. Like, in the same way the Saints, I'm sure, are very happy with Chris Olave, and the Jets are very happy with Garrett Wilson. Someone's going to be very happy with Marvin Harrison Jr.
He is absolutely a stud, and he's not like his old man either. Like, he's built differently. He's a bigger receiver. He was really good yesterday, and then he took a they called it targeting on the field. It was a weird play by CJ Stroud. He kind of just threw one up, and he ended up having to he essentially left the game, which with what we all think is a concussion, we're pretty sure it was a concussion, and him being out was probably a big reason why Ohio State ended up losing that game after being up 35-24. So he's a difference maker. You're talking like in dynasty drafts, like that's a top three dynasty pick when he does declare, which will probably be next year. You're probably right. But he could make a case for number one. Like, he's that good. He was incredible yesterday. Again, he had the two touchdowns and over 100 receiving yards. Just an excellent, excellent football player. He's a big body, and he's physically dominant. He is absolutely going to make some teams happy. And dare I say that he is better than both Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson.
Marvin Harrison Jr., you are a Houston Texan.
Have fun. Well, at least he might get his college quarterback. There's a chance that he gets CJ Stroud there.
Yeah, that's actually true. That might be kind of fun, kind of a la Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase. But yeah, I think we're still a couple of years away from that. Why don't we take a look at the Thursday night game before we get into the start sits? Because obviously, Week 17 means it's championship weekend. If you're still competing, kudos to you. Shoot us a text at 590-590, name and location. And again, we will get to as many text line questions on the people's text line as humanly possible in the next 45 to 50 minutes or so. But let's start with the Thursday nighter, Marchese, to kick off the new year. Thursday, December 29th, a couple nights ago, 27-13, the Dallas Cowboys defeat the Tennessee Titans. Okay, I know basically no one played for the for old Tennessee here. Joshua Dobbs suited up in place of Malik Willis. Treylon Burks and Robert Woods and Chig Okonkwo, as guys we've talked about all season, did play in this game. But when I say a lot of people didn't play, Derrick Henry didn't play. A ton of offensive linemen didn't play. A ton of defensive players didn't play. So again, the result perhaps not super surprising. But I got to say, Joshua Dobbs, I honestly think, acquitted himself pretty well. It was not a fantasy performance for the ages. 232 passing yards, one passing touchdown. He had an interception as well. He carried the ball three times for 12 yards as well. So again, it's like not going to, you know, astound your eyes when you look at your box score for fantasy points. But honestly, he was making some pretty competitive throws considering that, you know, he was what, the third string QB on the depth chart for the Cleveland Browns for like much of the year before getting released after Watson came back. So yeah, I got to say, I'm pretty impressed with what I saw out of Dobbs in the extremely small sample size.
Yeah, I was as well. I honestly, I thought that this was going to be, you know, any, you know, it's funny with the Cowboys defense, just in relation to Joshua Dobbs, anytime you think that the Cowboys defense is going to get RB1 numbers, they don't. It's hilarious how that happens. And in the games that you don't expect them to, they do end up putting up good numbers. The Dallas defense was just okay, and Josh Dobbs actually looked pretty good. Like, Josh Dobbs is going to be starting against the Jags. I know there was some speculation that Malik Willis was just being rested ahead of the game against the Jaguars, which is for the division next week. And there's no chance that Joshua Dobbs is not starting in that game. Like, he, as much as I do like the ceiling for Malik Willis and going forward, Kirk Herbstreit made mention of it a few times on the broadcast, in that he's still a developmental quarterback and he's still, you know, working his way up to speed at the NFL game, especially, you know, at the speed level. And, you know, Josh Dobbs has been around for 6 years. And he's been on practice squads and he's been in NFL action. So he knows the speed of the game. I thought he was pretty decent considering all those things that you mentioned, like especially the offensive line not having a full complement of players and not having a really good run game with Derrick Henry out. I mean, it was a pretty impressive performance. And can I say, Show, with all these guys that are out this week, does this not feel like the final week of the season as opposed to next week, which apparently everybody's going to be playing in?
It does kind of feel like that, doesn't it? Hey, by the way, do you like? We haven't discussed this yet, so I might as well ask you. Do you want to do start sits next week? Because week 18, I always go back and forth. Like, I would say most people who like wake up and listen to this show on a Sunday probably are savvy enough fantasy players to not have their championship be in week 18. But like, you never really know. I think we did last year get a number of texts about week 18 start sit. So what do you want to do next week? You want to do some start sits, or do you want to just like do a general chat?
I think we just update everybody on the injury news. Yeah. And then maybe we could do some fantasy awards next week.
Sure.
I think that's what we should do, because I know everybody wants to hear who our fantasy Grinches were this year and who our fantasy MVPs were. Because you know what, for my money show, Austin Eckler is probably the fantasy. He should be the community MVP because of how much he, you know, I think he gave an injury update on Twitter or Instagram or something yesterday. Like, that is the fantasy.
Yeah. He said he's playing. He said he's MVP. Playing. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I think our plan is next week. You know what? I got an idea. Why don't we ask our listeners? What do our listeners want to hear? Text us 590-590. Let us know what you want to hear next week.
Yeah, hey, yeah. We reach out at 590-590. We'll compile all those answers and get to certainly your questions, but also see if anyone has any good suggestions for next Sunday. Because yeah, week 18, I'm sure we'll get to some injury updates as well. But I think generally speaking, it's even harder to predict what happens on a Sunday of week 18, even more than it regularly is, because what you'll see a lot of next week. You'll see a lot of like guys who are like three catches away from hitting some kind of incentive. We'll go out there in the first quarter, get targeted like eight times until they get their whatever incentive, 500K bonus or whatever it is, and then they'll get sat for the rest of the game if the game has no meaning, right? So I think, like, for example, you mentioned that we're talking about the Titans. No matter what happened, regardless of the loss for the Titans this past weekend, they're still in contention to win the AFC South against the Jags next weekend. So I bet most people are going to play next weekend for both teams. But yeah, so anyways, you want to reach in and weigh in about what you want to do, what CS do or Harris do next weekend, please do so at 590-590. Real quick on the Cowboys side of things, Dak Prescott, 282 passing yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions as well. He rushed the ball three times for 11 yards. Again, not eye-popping numbers, but again, also not something that's probably going to lose you your week at the same time. I think he probably ended up with, what, 13 to 14 points. So, I mean, it's not ideal in the final week of the season, but it's also not something that's going to be the reason you lose, I think, in the end. This game does underscore to me, and it's something that you've kind of seen at times all season, Matt, but beyond CeeDee Lamb, the guy had 11 catches for 100 yards, no touchdowns, but still, if you're in like a half or full PPR league, you're liking that very much. Dalton Schultz, 7 catches, 56 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's a free agent after this season. The Cowboys don't really have a lot of top echelon offensive weapons after CeeDee Lamb. Like, Michael Gallup is fine. Ezekiel Elliott at this stage of his career, 19 carries, 37 yards and a touchdown. He's fine. Tony Pollard, very good, also a free agent at the end of the year, right? So I'm very curious with what the Cowboys offense will look like, but also just maybe they should really invest in some offensive weapons for Dak Prescott, given that these are the big bad New York Cowboys or Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, it's an interesting, I don't want to say conundrum that they're in, because I do believe that Dalton Schultz will be back. But I don't think Tony Pollard's coming back, because listen, in the time that and they can't really cut Ezekiel Elliott because they save nothing on the cap, and the dead cap hit is just astronomical, and it doesn't make any sense from a business standpoint to do so. Way to go, Jerry Jones. Now, the Tony Pollard thing is super interesting, because when he's been given a workload, we know he's been incredible. And so I'm very curious to see where he ends up, because he's clearly not going to get as many touches in Dallas on a consistent basis. Like, he does have his games where he has 18 to 20 touches, but it's not consistent enough. And is that enough to keep him in Dallas? I don't know quite what Dallas's cap situation is, but for him, it's got to be a question of playing time at this point, because whenever he's been handed the reins to that team and that backfield, he's been great. So I'd be curious to see where he ends up. I would not be stunned at all if Dallas invested like a third round pick in a running back. I would not be shocked at all. And that would be a good landing spot for a rookie, considering that, yes, Ezekiel Elliott is wearing down. Is he going to get the same type of workload next season? Probably not. And that's a situation where a rookie can kind of walk into, you know, 10 to 12 touches right out of the chute and then kind of work their way up. I just don't know that Tony Pollard is going to want to wait for that to happen again. So he's an interesting case. But the Dallas offense as a whole, like CeeDee Lamb, yeah, he's great. The second best wide receiver on that team on the in the Thursday nighter was T.Y. Hilton, who they signed off the street like 2 weeks ago. So it's the one thing about the Cowboys is they do seem to play down to their competition, because that game should have been well in hand very early on Thursday, and it wasn't. So getting some big-time offensive playmakers that are younger is going to be a priority. I think they end up investing probably in the linebacker position in the first round and then kind of move their way from there. But they're going to be a very interesting team next year.
Can I just suggest that that Auburn kid from the running back be drafted to the Cowboys, if only for his name, Tank Bigsby? Have you ever watched this? I have never seen a second of him play, but I'm aware that he exists as a running back because his name is Tank Bigsby out of Auburn. That's like if we could draft people based on names, he would be the number one overall pick without a doubt.
And if not, he'd be pretty close. Like that is, I mean, I would never think to name my kid Tank, but
you could
have.
You had a chance to name your kid Tank like 2 months ago.
I know, but could you imagine a girl named Tank? That would be so unfortunate. And for those wondering, Tank Bigsby is 6 feet, 213 pounds, 970 rushing yards on 179 attempts. That is good for 5.4 yards per attempt and 10 touchdowns with Auburn. So there you go. The Auburn Tigers, Tank Bigsby. Show wants Tank in Dallas. But that is the perfect name for a Dallas Cowboy, too. You know, Texas, like people in Texas name their kid Tank.
It's true. Like
Tank Bigsby, he's from Georgia, but I mean, people in Texas name their kid Tank.
It's very true. Like if you go look at like all the rosters of like all of the Texas high schools in that gigantic state, I guarantee you there's someone decent coming up the ranks whose name is also Tank. But I digress. Let's take a very quick break. When we come back, we will start the start sits. We'll get to James Conner, another very talented running back himself, who is balling out in time for your championship run. Who else in that game? Cards, Falcons, should you start? We'll get to all that straight ahead. You're listening to The Fantasy Show. Show Ali, Matt Marchese. Happy New Year on the Sportsnet Radio Network. To the Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali, Matt Marchese here with you this week 17, January 1, 2023. Happy New Year, everyone. Send us your questions at 590-590. Name and location, please, on the People's Text Line. See a couple here already as people still wake up, I'm sure. We'll get to as many of your fantasy football start-sit questions in the next segment straight ahead at the top of the hour. And again, if we don't answer your questions on the air, we will get to all of them before the games start at around 1 p.m. Eastern. But Matt, let's get to the start sits. We'll begin with Cards at Falcons. I mentioned James Conner before the break. He is he hasn't dipped below double-digit points since week 5 and hasn't dipped below 13 points since week 9, which was against Seattle. The week 5 game was against Philly. So Conner has been getting some more receiving work as of late. I have to admit, it's probably because Kyler Murray's out. Certainly has been a little bit of a boost for him because he's probably the most reliable player left, essentially. But no Colt McCoy, no Trace McSorley. I'm going to completely butcher the QB's name. I know he's played for the Lions and so on in the past, but it's either David Blau or Bluff. Okay, Austin says it's Blau. Okay, so
Blau. You could say David. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go to the next one. I will not do it.
Well, either way, Blau is going to be the
guy. You did it.
Blau is going to be the starter. Did you see this? He's going to be the 64th starting QB to actually like take the field at some point in 2020, in this 2022 season, essentially. That is insane. Maybe not starting QB in the sense of actually starting games, but like a QB to actually see the field, 64th. That has got to be a new high. Like, I know that injuries happen every year, but 64 is like an astonishingly high number.
It's ridiculous. And it speaks to just how, like, the injury situations across the NFL, like, and in, you know, Vegas, which we will get to, they're even sitting their quarterback for the last two.
Right.
Weeks. So, I mean, they're for, it's funny when we talk about like everybody keeps saying, oh, this is the golden era of quarterbacks. And it might very well be in terms of elite quarterbacks. When we talk about, you know, Allen, Mahomes, Herbert, Burrow, you know, maybe Jalen Hurts is in that conversation. Like, we can keep going down the list, but there are a lot of not very good quarterbacks in the NFL too, which speaks to, maybe we're not in the golden era of quarterbacks, and it's just like every other era. But yeah, David Blough becoming the 64th quarterback to take the field is absolutely insane. And he's not even going to have DeAndre Hopkins to throw to this week. So I think I would start Gabe Davis over Hollywood Brown this week as well. That's kind of where I'm at right now with this Arizona offense.
Yeah, I think like largely for me, and I've said this before, but I am okay with taking risks with certain players depending on what the context is, right? Like, for example, Braxton Berrios and Dare Ogunbowale helped me win a championship last year, and I did not expect it to have to start either of them in the fantasy championship. And so there will be players like that who you start this week, I am sure, like almost out of necessity in a lot of different ways, maybe because you had Derrick Henry, maybe because you had DeAndre Hopkins, maybe because you had Lamar Jackson, for example. Any of these guys, obviously none of them are playing or did play in Henry's case, but yeah, it's just like, I don't know that Hollywood Brown is the guy I necessarily want to take a chance on, not because he is a bad player by any means, we know he's not, but because I'm not sure you want to rely on David Blough essentially, right? So that's just something to keep in mind. But James Conner is someone I would start because
yes,
they have to rely on him if they want just any sort of success. And then on top of that, the Falcons, just kind of one of those really like kind of uninteresting middle of the pack fantasy defenses. So I would feel okay about starting them. Apart from those guys, though, on the other side of the sidelines for the Falcons, you got Desmond Ridder, Tyler Allgeier, Cordarrelle Patterson, Drake London as the main guys you can start. Drake London seems to have returned from the graveyard, so to speak, right? Over the past 3 weeks, he's averaged over 10 targets and just under 7 receptions a game. He has not taken any of those receptions into the end zone, but he still has gotten in PPR about 12 fantasy points in each of those 3 weeks. So if you are in a PPR league, even in half PPR, I might pause, but a full PPR league and you need to play someone, I think I would feel okay starting Drake London as a WR3. But where do you fall on Allgeier? Because the guy has been absolutely phenomenal as of late. But again, do you trust Tyler Allgeier and his usage in the fantasy championship?
I do. I'm okay with him as an RB2 or even a flex play, but I feel like he's in line for a big day here. The Cardinals aren't good on defense across the board, but they've given up the 6th most points per game to opposing running backs. He's the RB7 over the last 2 weeks. He's just been getting the workload and he's been good. Like, he's approaching, I believe, 1,000 all-purpose yards. And let's not forget, like, there was a joke going around that he was like 8th on the depth chart for the Atlanta Falcons in the preseason, because we know how preseason depth charts work. But he's been really good, and I'm kind of surprised because the Falcons don't really have much in the way of a passing game, and you would think that teams would just key in on the run, and they haven't been able to stop Tyler Allgeier. So I would actually start him over Cordarrelle Patterson this week if I had the choice.
Yeah, the Patterson workload is difficult to evaluate, generally speaking, because you probably, especially after his performance in 2021, you probably invested a decent chunk of draft capital in him. And it's weird, right? Because just 2 weeks ago against the Saints, he had 14 carries and a touchdown. He had over 12 PPR points. So it's not an absurd question to ask, like, whether or not should you start Cordarrelle Patterson. But right now it does kind of seem like maybe the Falcons are turning the keys over to Tyler Allgeier. Like, maybe that's the guy you want not just this year, but if you're in a keeper league, definitely someone to well, certainly not drop, but if, even if you're out of the playoffs at this point, definitely hold on to him as a potential keeper for 2023. Also, can I just say that I as we discussed, like David Blau, I honestly think, like, if you were to put like Nathan Rourke from the BC Lions in there, he's probably a better start than like 99% of the backup quarterbacks. I bet. Like, I honestly do think that.
Well, I would say at this point, like, he's definitely better than Nathan Peterman. He's probably better than Jarrett Stidham. And he's probably better than David Blau. So, yeah, I mean, we can go down the list. At the end of the day, there are a lot of starting quarterbacks in the NFL that aren't very good. So you can imagine what the backup quarterbacks look like. And in a lot of cases, like, it's about, you know, development and whatever. But, yeah, no, the backup quarterbacks in the NFL are not very good. And I do believe that there are guys that have kind of fallen through the cracks that are better than some of the guys that are actually playing in NFL games this week.
Well, two of those guys that are, well, certainly not one of them is a backup. One of them is definitely a starter, but I'm not sure what the talent difference is when it comes to these two. And let's say Nathan Rourke, Kenny Pickett, and now Tyler Huntley between the Baltimore Ravens and certainly the Pittsburgh Steelers. Why don't we start with the Ravens? Because Lamar Jackson, he is out, I believe. He's officially out. So because of that, Tyler Huntley is going to get another start. And, hey, I guess he finally threw his first touchdown pass, right? Yeah, this past weekend? Yeah, great.
Yeah, it did help me. Remember that? Remember that, Tyler Huntley? Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
His whole thing is that his best asset from a fantasy perspective is the rushing ability, and yet in all of the times he has seen the field, he has only gone 40 yards on the ground, I think, one time. So I think if you're streaming a QB, you can probably look elsewhere, even though this is probably a better matchup for him, generally speaking. I would just, like, just avoid it if you can at all, even if you are in the hole because no Lamar Jackson. But honestly, like, the only guy I will feel comfortable starting in this game is J.K. Dobbins, and even he is an RB, like a middling RB2, just because of the general state of the Baltimore offense. Like, if the Baltimore offense was a little better, if they were a little more efficient, whatever, then maybe I might feel better about starting like a DeMarcus Robinson or even honestly Mark Andrews, right? But the way it is right now, I don't think anyone outside of Dobbins can be confidently started.
Yeah, and like, I mean, Gus Edwards ended up with over 90 yards last week. I think they're both efficient enough that if they both get 10 carries that they can do something with it. But I do agree, like, Gus Edwards as a
flex play, volatile, you know what I mean? Like his workload.
The thing is they need to be uber efficient on those touches that they get because they don't, you know, generally speaking, I mean, J.K. Dobbins did have a game with 15 carries. But that's not a normal occurrence in this offense for whatever reason. So I do like Dobbins as kind of a mid-range, maybe back end with massive upside. I do like Gus Edwards as a flex play again this week. I did say last week, don't start Mark Andrews. And I think he had like two or three catches. He was better than he had been in previous weeks, but still not good enough. I believe I also did say to play Taysom Hill over Mark Andrews. I think that one worked out just fine. Thank you very much. Pittsburgh's defense, the only positions that they really struggle against are quarterback and wide receiver, and you're not starting any of the Ravens in that capacity. Yeah. So, it's Dobbins. It's maybe Gus Edwards, but if you're in the final, you're probably not playing Gus Edwards anyway. But I do like J.K. Dobbins here.
On the Steelers side of things, I'm not sure we're really going to be leaning on Kenny Pickett given the struggles between the offensive line. But you know what? Najee Harris has looked honestly pretty good, right? I think in the last, month or so, Najee Harris has been achieving the RB2 numbers more frequently than he otherwise had been. Again, for a guy that was probably drafted in the first round for most leagues, or at the very least at the very beginning of the second round, it's not what you wanted certainly all season, but again, if you made it this far and Najee Harris is on your team, whether by trade or because you drafted the guy, then, hey, kudos to you for, A, surviving a lot of his duds and also now reaping the benefits of that. I got him as an RB2 again because here's the thing. He's been a pretty integral part of the passing game And that's something you've been waiting for all year. He had 9 targets, which is highest total on the season. He had 95 yards in week 16. It was 80. He went past 85 total yards for the third time in 4 games and played over 70% of the team's offensive snaps. Deontay Johnson, here's a fun stat as well. He had 36 targets over the past 4 games, and that is by far more than basically any of the Steelers' wide receiver. He has had 5 or more passes. He's hauled in 5 or more passes, like 5 or more receptions in 5 straight games. So it's not a super high ceiling, but it is a pretty nice floor. So if you are wondering whether or not to start either of those guys, Harris or Deontay, I wouldn't mind having a spot for them, even if it's in week 17 here in a championship matchup.
Yeah, I do like Deontay Johnson in PPR and half PPR just because you talked about, like, I'll even go one step further. He's got 44 targets his last 5 weeks.
Whew.
So, I mean, he's a target machine. George Pickens hasn't been getting the looks that he was before. I know there were a lot of people clamoring for George Pickens, wide receiver 1, Pittsburgh Steelers. Not quite the case. The only thing that's holding Deontay Johnson back at this point is the man cannot get into the end zone. Zero. Like the Sam Mitchell guys line 0-0-0. That's Deontay Johnson trying to get into the end zone this year. I still do like him this week. I don't love Pat Freiermuth this week. Baltimore 22nd in points per game against opposing tight ends. Like, I feel like both tight ends are just an absolute wash this week. I don't want to start either of them, whether it be Andrews or Freiermuth. And again, if you got to this point, you're probably not starting those guys anyway, just because of how volatile they both have been. But I would agree with you. I like Deontay Johnson as a wide receiver 3, and I like Najee Harris as an RB2 with potential back end RB1 upside.
I kind of have Deontay and George Pickens both as WR3s, but if you're looking at like different ends of the tier, it's probably Deontay at the higher end of the WR3 scale, let's call it, and then maybe the George Pickens at the lower end of the scale tier, whatever you want to call it, right? That's just kind of how I view it, just because, I mean, Pickens has been good. He did catch the game-winning touchdown last year in the dying seconds of that game. Very exciting, all things considered. But at the same time, I'm not sure how much you can count on that week to week, just given the general volatility of the guys not named Deontay Johnson with that passing offense. Also, for Deontay, according to PFF, he has 127 targets without a touchdown. That is the largest single-season drought of all time. That's insane. Wow. And he actually is still a top 30 wide receiver. So if he catches like even like 1 or 2 touchdowns between now and the end of next week, week 18, he's probably going to be jettisoned into the top like 20. I would imagine, given how close things are usually in the top 30. Let's do the next start sit, Bears Lions and Justin Fields. And I know a lot of people have questions about Justin Fields. I know he came off of essentially his worst game, if not of the season, definitely since like week 3 or week 4, I think against Detroit. And we know Detroit is not the most stout defensive unit. I think you can feel pretty good. I'm not saying you're going to expect another like 40 burger from Justin Fields, as we had come to expect against like the lesser defenses of the world. But Detroit simply allows a league high 25.3 points per game to opposing quarterbacks. So I think you can definitely fire up Justin Fields. Where do you fall on David Montgomery? I know the last time he played the Lions, he was like RB 41 or 40 or something. It was like his one of his lowest finishes of the entire year. So I'm curious where you fall on Monty at Ford Field today.
So in most cases, I would say, I'm not high on Monty this week, but just how I took my victory lap on Taysom Hill. I need to eat crow for saying that the Lions were going to shut down Chuba Hubbard Deonta Foreman last week, because they both had, and checks notes, over 100 rushing yards at the half last week against the Lions. So obviously Carolina found a recipe for success against this Lions defense. And I'm okay with David Montgomery, playoff Monty, as an RB2. And dare I say that I think that Khalil Herbert is a flex play with some upside, just because, listen, we know that Chicago, they didn't throw the ball a ton against Buffalo. I know the weather was, you know, a very big factor in all of that, but Justin Fields, I don't believe, is going to run as much, just because that ankle's still a little bit wonky by the sounds of it. So I like David Montgomery, just because I think 15 touches is the floor for him in this game. I think Khalil Herbert gets at least 10. So you're talking, you know, for volume purposes, in a game that probably will be high scoring, I like both of them, and I hate every Chicago wide receiver. So I think that's why I just kind of lean to Monty as a volume based RB2, and he has upside because look at what, you know, Chuba Hubbard and Deontay Foreman are not as good as David Montgomery, and they ran wild on the Lions last week. So if they can follow the same recipe for success, I think that the offenses are very similar in that they want to run the ball a lot. I like David Montgomery this week as an RB2, and I like Khalil Herbert with as a flex play with some upside.
And like you said, wide receiver wise, you're not starting like Dante Pettis or Byron Pringle in the fantasy championship. You're not doing that. Not for a team that like barely throws the ball as it is. You're just not doing that. Cole Kmet, I suppose you could, but he had two pretty tough defenses, Eagles and Bills, and now he faces the Lions, which is the Lions allow, I believe, the fifth highest point total to fantasy point total to opposing tight ends across the leagues, and we know Cole Kmet is one of Justin Fields' favorite targets. So I think you can actually start him. But again, I would just like have the expectations as a middling to low TE1, high end TE2 outside, just because, you know, if they find even just a smidge of success running the ball, they will run the ball. So just keep that in mind. Detroit Lions side of things, as usual, I don't think there's a real question mark, especially when at home. Like, I don't think there's a lot of question marks around Jared Goff, for example, or Amon-Ra St. Brown, or honestly, maybe even DJ Chark. The guy's been pretty reliable. But the confusing part for me, and it does sometimes feel like you're rolling, they're like really rolling the dice, is whether or not you should start one or both of DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams. I think at this point, I'm in on it with Jamal Williams as a sit because he is dependent on a touchdown at this point. It's just that he was getting a lot of touchdowns in the first half of the year, and now he's not, and because that's not coming, the points aren't coming as freely as well. DeAndre Swift, gosh, what a disappointment it's been, right? Even after he there was like, what, two games where he got a lot of touches, and then you thought to yourself, hey, maybe Swift is back, and even now he is still getting a lot of touches, it's not really producing a lot for you. So I think, like, there's a, again, like we always say, if he plays, you kind of have to play him, but he might be like an RB3 for me at this point, just because of the lack of consistency.
Yeah, it's been such a weird year. Like, obviously they, you know, the injuries have really hampered DeAndre Swift this year, and the shoulder injury is the big one. But here's the one thing that I will say about the Chicago Bears defense, and especially their run defense. They suck. So they've given up 27 rushing touchdowns this season. So it's almost as if running backs just kind of fall into the end zone. And last week we saw Devin Singletary and James Cook both get into the end zone. Both of them had over 90 yards. I think this is, like I said, I think this is a high scoring game. And by the way, the team that has given up the second most rushing touchdowns this year is the Detroit Lions at 22. So I think that this is the RB game. I also do think that this is a high scoring game. This just screams like 37-34, a last second field goal wins it. Detroit somehow stays alive and tries to get into the playoffs. That's how I see this one going. So I like Jamal Williams just because it does feel like he is going to fall into the end zone this week. I know it's not a lot to bank on, but I like both running backs as RB2s just because I saw what the Bills offense did last week with the running game. And that's not a running game that has been nearly as successful as Detroit's has been this year. So I do like both running backs. I think they both have the ability to score on this defense. And I think that Jared Goff is in top five, a top five play this week in a game. Like, show, if I had to ask you to pick between Jared Goff, who is at home, like you mentioned, and we know those numbers, and Justin Fields, that to me is not cut and dry. Justin Fields is locked in. I like the rushing upside, But I think that's a much tougher question than a lot of people think.
Yeah, it's true. I expect them both to be pretty good. And I actually see one of the questions on the text line is a Fields or Goff question. So
Of course it is.
So just think about that for the next 15 minutes, because you will have to answer that question on the air in the next 15 minutes. And again, you can shoot us text line questions at 590-590, the people's text line. We will get to as many of your questions as humanly possible at the top of the hour. By the way, don't start Shane Zylstra. I know he caught three touchdowns, but don't pencil that into your fantasy championship. Please don't chase those points. Okay, DJ Chark. By the way, he was WR21, a serviceable finish last week, considering as many wide receivers that played this week. Bears allowed 21.47 points per game to wide receivers, well above the league average. Obviously, you're starting Amon-Ra St. Brown, but Chark has five or more targets in four of his last five games. For a WR2, like a middle WR2, it's not bad volume. So I think you can start Chark if you are wondering about it, if you are strapped at the wide receiver position because of injuries. Jags, Texans, I actually see a Trevor Lawrence question here. He did miss practice, I think, at least once with that toe injury, which has been nagging. But I think he is playing today regardless. And obviously, it's a good thing because Trevor Lawrence has looked certainly much more like the number one overall generational best QB since Peyton Manning type of thing. Certainly more essentially since that ugly overseas game against the Broncos. Since then, he has looked, I honestly think, like one of the top five QBs in the NFL. He's just played very, very well, and Doug Peterson certainly putting him in a position to succeed. I think you can certainly start him against the lowly Texans this week. Travis Etienne, I would imagine you are going to get a lot of production out of him because the Texans have simply allowed the most fantasy points to the running back, the most rushing yards allowed, the third most rushing touchdowns. He has seen more than 20 touches and more than 100 yards from scrimmage in back-to-back weeks. I think you can definitely start Travis Etienne. Christian Kirk, I'm a little more troubled by, just because as Evan Engram's star has gone up, it certainly feels like Christian Kirk's star has kind of like gone down a little bit. Ultimately, Matt, I think maybe Kirk is still a WR2 probably, but it's become a little less reliable in the last month or so.
Yeah, I actually have both him and Zay Jones as flexes this week, right, just because the Texans secondary has been pretty good. Like they are certainly not a pushover. So not like the run defense. The run defense has been horrible. So I would temper my expectations for Trevor Lawrence. And as I say that, he's going to pop off for like 350 and three touchdowns. But this game does mean nothing for the Jags, in all honesty, because it all comes down to next week when they play against Tennessee for the division. I do like Travis Etienne, back-to-back weeks of 100 all-purpose yards, a nice bounce back after he kind of struggled for a little bit. Like he had those, three blow-up weeks or whatever it was, and then he had the game which he essentially sat out. So that was concerning, but he's been really good the last couple weeks. I think this is a game that is going to be won on the ground for the Jags and not necessarily through the air, but man, oh man, am I starting Evan Engram wherever I can.
Yeah. As much as I love to poo-poo old Evan, he has been very, very, very good. I said this to you last week, but I genuinely do think he has played himself out of Jacksonville because he's going to get like a super fat contract. But then again, I didn't think the Jags would pay Christian Kirk that much money either. And they did. So here we are. So that very next year, we very well maybe still be talking about Jacksonville Jaguar Evan Engram. On the Houston Texan side of things, I don't think there's really anyone I would start in a championship final. Like maybe Brandon Cooks, but even then, it's like a huge, huge maybe. And I say that as someone who is very high on Cooks coming into this season. I wish him the best going to next year because I'm not even sure he's a Houston Texan next year. But at best, he is a flex play. Funnily enough, Darrell Ogunbowale is on this team, and he will always hold a special place in my heart for helping me win a title last year. But, I mean, you're not starting him. You're not starting anyone else on this Texans team other than Cooks, and even then, it's a huge maybe.
Yeah, I'm not touching this thing with a 10-foot pole. No chance am I even considering playing anyone from the Texans. And this is a good matchup. Like the Jags defense hasn't been, they're certainly not stellar and they can be had. But yeah, good luck trying, because the week that you start Chris Moore or you start Brandon Cooks, it's going to be Philip Dorsett, or Jordan Akins. You know that's going to happen. So let's just stay away from it and not even think about it.
Let's squeeze a couple more in before we take a quick break here and get to your texts on the People's Text Line. Broncos Chiefs is the next one up here. The way I look at this game is because, and certainly Russell Wilson has been awful this season and the head coach has been fired and so on and so forth, but because I fully expect this game to have a very negative game script, I do wonder if that just means that Jerry Jeudy is the guy you start and then, and maybe Cortland Sutton, that's it. Like maybe as a, they're both like probably WR3s to me just because of the volatility in the passing game so far. But even Latavius Murray, like if this game gets out of hand, he's not going to see the field or at least not see the ball a whole hell of a lot. So honestly, it's Jeudy, Sutton. Maybe you can talk me into Jeudy as a lower end WR2 instead of a WR3, Matt, but that's probably about it, I think.
Yeah, Jerry Jeudy actually, he's been rock solid the last six. So his last six full games, because remember, he had that ankle injury early in one game that he left. So his last six full games, at least 4 catches and 63 yards. And that includes last week's 6 catches for 117 yards against the Rams. To me, he's the wide receiver one in Denver, despite Russ not being very good. And you talked about Latavius Murray. Casey's actually been pretty good against the run. So I kind of downgraded Latavius Murray to a flex play at best. The last time these two teams played was a few weeks ago, and he was limited to 31 yards on 11 total touches. And that was a game that Denver was chasing and ended up making it a lot closer than it was. And no Greg Dulcich either. He's out for the year. He's on injured reserve. So it's kind of slim pickings here. I've got Jeudy as a mid-range to higher-end wide receiver two, and I've got Cortland Sutton as kind of a boom or bust wide receiver three play because he does have that downfield ability. It's whether or not the Denver Broncos actually want to block for Russell Wilson. There was also a tweet from Adam Schefter, which is like my favorite thing of the new year. Ian Rappaport, so I apologize. After a disappointing and frustrating 2022, Broncos QB Russell Wilson plans to examine and potentially overhaul his entire routine. And my question is, does that include being a better teammate?
I mean, you would hope so.
Because he seems like a real dink.
They had to fire Hackett after what went on against the Rams. Again, that's nothing to do with really the Rams, but people arguing on the sidelines. You give up 51 points, and I guess less than 51 because I think the last TD was a pick six or whatever. But you can't let all of that go on. It just makes you seem clueless. And Russell Wilson is definitely a big part of that. So I am curious to see what changes he makes like personally for 2023 because something's got to change. Otherwise, I don't think Denver Bronco fans are going to be too excited about the rest of that contract. On the Chiefs side of things, again, it's a pretty short conversation because you don't necessarily need us to tell you to start Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, maybe not even Jeudy. I think Jeudy might be like a lower-end WR2 just because we know the passes are kind of funneled to Travis Kelce. And, I mean, this is a Denver defense that just allowed Tyler Higbee to catch 9 targets for 94 yards and 2 touchdowns. So you're definitely feeling good about starting Travis Kelce on championship weekend, but the question for me, for you, Matt, is revolves around the running backs because Jerick McKinnon had 5 carries against Seattle. He turned that into 7 yards. He did salvage things because he caught 3 targets for 31 yards and a touchdown. Isaiah Pacheco, 14 carries. He turned that into 58 scoreless yards, and he had 1 reception for 32 yards. The Broncos defense allows the 14th most fantasy points to running backs, but they did just allow Cam Akers to get 3 touchdowns on 23 carries. So if there is a running back I'm looking at because he gets the ball on the ground, it is Pacheco because Jerick McKinnon doesn't really touch the ball as a running back. He sees the ball a lot as a ball carrier through catching the ball. And it's worked out very well for him. So it's hard to bench him, but it just feels like maybe Pacheco is closer to being an RB2 than maybe Jerick McKinnon is.
Yeah. The only thing with McKinnon is I do like in standard, I'm not taking a chance on him, but in half PPR and full PPR, I think is where his value is. The last time these two teams played, he had, I don't think he's repeating this, but he had 7 catches for 112 yards. Like that is significant. And he also had, you know, he had the 6 carries for 22 yards. Fine. He had 2 touchdowns in that game as well. And I look at the roles are now set in Kansas City. Like the role that Jerick McKinnon and Isaiah Pacheco are playing is, you know, who's going to get your 15 carries and you know, who's going to get your 3 to 6 catches every week from that position. that is the role that we expected for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, to have both of those things, and he's not even in the picture. So I look at the situation because the roles are so defined. I have no issue with starting Jerick McKinnon, and the reason is this. I just think that the ceiling is so high for McKinnon in this offense because of his ability to catch the ball. You know, he only had three targets last week, but he hauled in all three of them, like you mentioned, for 31 yards and the touchdown. And he has five touchdowns over his last 4 weeks. Sorry, he has six touchdowns over his last 4 weeks. So he's not that he's a lock to get into the end zone, but they use him in all situations. They use him around the goal line. And I'm a big fan of his usage, especially in PPR. So I actually have him slightly ahead of Isaiah Pacheco this week just because of that touchdown upside.
Let's do one more game before we get out of here and get to the text line questions on the other side of the break. Dolphins-Patriots. I think this one might be pretty quick. Patriots, boy, that was a brutal way to lose a game against the Bengals. Who did they play last? Oh, against the Bengals last week on Christmas Eve. Boy, Ramondre Stevenson really let some people down. If you made it to the finals and you have Ramondre Stevenson, good for you, because he had like 2 points last week, right? It was a huge dud, 13 carries, 30 scoreless yards, and he had the fumble at the very end of the game to essentially lose the game for the Patriots. I think he bounces back, but because of that, despite the fact that he has been very reliable all season long, I think you have him listed as an RB2, like a middle RB2, and maybe you can make up that production elsewhere. If you're in the finals and you have Stevenson, you pretty much have to start him because he's been a dynamo all season long. Maybe Damian Harris returns this week and vultures some touches there because of the struggles for Stevenson, but ultimately speaking, I think you get a role with him because he's been on your team. Jacoby Myers is maybe the only other guy. He had 6 of 7 targets for 83 yards and a touchdown. Kendrick Bourne had 9 targets, but he had 100 yards and a score. But I think if you're starting any Patriots receiver today, you're playing Jacoby Myers because he has been essentially the de facto WR1 in New England all season long, even though I'm not sure that really like means a lot necessarily. For the Dolphins, really quick, Matt, Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, I'll just say, because no Tua today, he is not playing. He's in the concussion protocol. And I mean, I feel bad for the guy because he suffered 3 concussions in the span of a very short period of time. So I hope he's okay. But Teddy Bridgewater is going to start. If you are worried about it, while they do take hits if Tua is not under center, this is according to StatMuse, Hill has 31 catches for 417 yards in 4 games with Bridgewater this season, and Waddle in the same span, 15 catches for 293 yards. So I think you can still start them both. Hill has WR1, Waddle probably has a middle WR2, but it does mean they do take a bit of a hit. But it's just like a shame that you have to worry about the two of them in your championship weekend because of like an injury to the quarterback.
Yeah, and I'll be quick with this one. I actually think this is the game that Bill Belichick tries to take away Tyreek Hill. I believe it or not, I like Jaylen Waddle better this week with Teddy Bridgewater, just because you know what Bill Belichick does. He tries to take away your best weapon. And in my opinion, the best weapon is Tyreek Hill. So I think that Jaylen Waddle's in for a good week. Teddy's serviceable, but not really startable. And for the running backs, they essentially split carries last week. And in an already tough matchup, I'm not starting either of them if I can absolutely avoid it.
I think that's totally fair because, yeah, there's not a lot of other super reliable options outside of the guys we mentioned. Let's take a very quick break. When we come back, we will get to the People's Text Line, the first one of 2023. Also, I guess the last one of the 2022 season. So we'll get to your text line questions on the People's Text Line, 590-590. Leave your name and location. That's next on the Fantasy Show. Show and Matt on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is the Fantasy Show with Show Ali and Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hour 2 of the Fantasy Show here in the new year across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali, Matt Marchese with you. Week 17 Championship Weekend. Friends don't let friends play in Week 18. Everyone plays in Week 17. Championship weekend, and we are here to help you through it. Again, injury news and notes, start sits for every single game today, and of course, your text line questions on the People's Text Line at 590-590. Mr. Marchese, ready to do some texts to ring in the new year?
Let's roll.
Let's do it.
And now, your fantasy questions on the People's Text Line.
So as always, you guys know the drill. You can shoot us text at 590-590, name and location. We will get to as many as we can here over the next couple of minutes. And again, if we don't answer your question on the air, we will answer all of them off the air before we get out of here in about an hour. And again, if we don't get to them right at 10 o'clock, we will get to them before the 1 p.m. Eastern games kick off later this afternoon. This one was sent in by FaZe, who is a loyal texter. Appreciate it, FaZe. He sent this in actually last night. I think this was at like 8:30. So, savvy move, vet move. Get the text in late. Probably get read in the morning, and then you don't have to worry about it, and you can enjoy the New Year festivities. FaZe from Peterborough. I ended up benching Stephon Diggs last week, and it worked out great. I do remember, actually, FaZe has texted a number of times, and I've asked him who the other people on his team is. And I know he has, like, CeeDee Lamb. I think, I want to say he has, like, Ja'Marr Chase. Like, I think he has a very, very, very good team. So I guess, like, benching Diggs is definitely means he just filled it with another very good player. So I'm glad you managed to make that risky decision, because you never really know with Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen and the Bills offense. So he benched Diggs, worked out great, made it to the championship. Two questions this week, full PPR league. This is the QB question, Fields or Goff? And for RB2, Kenneth Walker, Jerick McKinnon, or Brian Robinson Jr.? My RB1 is Austin Eckler. So you want to do the QB question first, Justin Fields sure. or Jared Goff?
So I'm going to get bold here. I'm going to even go more than bold here. I'm going to do the Michael Keaton in Batman.
Let's
you
want to
get nuts? Yeah. Let's get nuts. Let's get nuts with Jared Goff over Justin Fields this week. There's just something about Jared Goff at home. I think he just blazes the Bears. And the ankle injury does have me a little bit worried for Justin Fields. I'm going to roll with Jared Goff.
You know what? That's like, it's not shocking that you picked Goff at home. It's shocking that you picked Goff at home over Justin Fields, considering you are the president of the Justin Fields fan club.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I have to be a realist here. The ankle, like, we know that a lot of his points come from his ability to run. And last week, he didn't do it that often, and he still has the ankle injury. I just don't, the game means nothing to the Bears. I don't see why they risk having Justin Fields run 13 or 14 times, especially with Khalil Herbert back. I just think it's more of a down week from Justin Fields than we've seen in previous weeks.
The other question, RB2, Kenneth Walker, Jerick McKinnon, or Brian Robinson Jr.? He did say this is a full PPR league, so does that make you lean more towards Jerick McKinnon more than anyone else, I wonder?
I'm actually going to go a little bit kind of off the board here. I'm going to go with Brian Robinson Jr. And no Antonio Gibson this week. I just think the workload here for Brian Robinson Jr. is going to be too good to pass up against the Browns defense, the run defense, who has just been, they suck. So I like the upside here with Brian Robinson. I think it's an incredible spot. I've got him as an RB1 this week.
RB1? Walker, wow.
Yeah, not the RB1, but an RB1. Kenneth Walker has the Jets, and Jerick McKinnon, like we talked about, the upside is there, but a little bit more volatile, where I think that Brian Robinson workload is going to be there. He's going to be used in the passing game. Really like him this week.
The last text on 590-590 of 2022 is as follows. This actually has nothing to do with us. I just wanted to read it to you because no one replied to it, I don't think. But this was sent in at 8:30 last night from Randy in Ottawa. He says, "Hi, it is starting to show that Suzuki is not a captain. It is obvious Drouin should have been named captain." You know what? I don't know if that's a fair take or not. I got to tell you, Matt, I have not watched, other than the times they have played the Leafs, I have not watched 1 second of the Montreal Canadiens since, you know what, since the beginning of the season, honestly. Like, if they have not played the Leafs, I've literally not watched a second of the Habs this year.
I will say that Randy is either French-Canadian because he wants Drouin as the captain, or it's Randy Cunnyworth, former head coach, who also used to play for the Ottawa Senators. Because that take makes no sense to me. But anyway.
I only mentioned it to you because you are the sometimes host, full-time producer of the Jeff Merrick Show, which is one of the most popular shows across the network. So Anyway, so you don't agree. You don't agree that Jonathan Drouin should be the captain of the Habs. Okay.
I think Randy got into the sauce a little bit early last
night. A little early, yeah. I think that's probably right. This one is tough. I feel bad for Connor in Calgary because he does text in a lot. He says, morning, guys. Love the show. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Connor. He says, I was in the final until Saturday morning, and I woke up to a stat correction to the Titans DST, and I was moved to the third place game yesterday, even after the Titans game had gone final. So today I'm playing for the third place instead of the championship, and I don't really care as much. Yeah, I mean, I would probably feel the same way, man. That sucks.
That's a bad beat.
Oh, my God. That's awful. I feel bad for you, Connor. I really do. But he does say standard scoring, flex, playing for third, Hollywood Brown, Cordero Patterson, or Raheem Mostert. None of those are, like, the most sexy options. I'll say that, right? It's like, I don't feel great about starting Raheem Mostert against, I guess, the Patriots. We talked about the Falcons' usage of Cordero Patterson with Allgeier kind of being given the keys. So I guess by default it's Hollywood. I don't know if you feel differently.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, he's the clear number one receiver with DeAndre Hopkins out. I don't love it, but I do think that there is some upside. Like, he could end up with like 10 or 11 targets today, and I would be fine with that.
Yeah, exactly. He does say standard scoring, so I guess it like takes a bit of a hit. But again, like the other options are like Mostert or Patterson, so it's I don't think it's like that sexy. Rob and Whitby, standard PPR, so I guess like a full PPR league instead of a half PPR. I'm in the finals, boys. I need three running backs between these. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So you're benching two of these five running backs. David Montgomery, Jerick McKinnon, Leonard Fournette. Oh, Walker 3. Kenneth Walker the 3rd. It says Walker with the number 3, and I was like, Walker 3? It's like the Terminator? Like the next version of the Terminator? or Deontay Foreman. So Monty, McKinnon, Fournette, Kenneth Walker, Deontay Foreman. We need three of those five.
This is a really tough one.
Here. Yeah.
Like, Lenny had 29 touches last week. I mean, that was insane. Like, I don't know how you sit Leonard Fournette. Okay, so let's start this. I'm starting David Montgomery in this game.
Okay.
That's the only one that feels like a lock here. Foreman's going up against the Bucks. Fournette. You know what? I'm gonna go with playoff Lenny. I'm gonna go with Montgomery. And I'm gonna go with Kenneth Walker.
Really? Against the Jets?
Yeah, Tyler Lockett's back, so I think it's good. I think having the passing game open up the running game for him, I think, is going to be good. And it does seem like he's over that ankle injury that hobbled him over the last couple weeks. So I'm going to go with those three.
I'll agree on Monty and Fournette. I might, just because it's the Jets defense and they are playing for something, and Mike White is back, and that team might move the ball a little better as well, which might mean less possessions for the Seahawks. I think I might sub out Walker for Jerick McKinnon, given that it is a full PPR. Actually, yeah, because he said standard PPR. That's, I think, the only real difference. Otherwise, I would probably go with Walker.
Yeah, it's a tough question. I mean, it's a good problem to have because all five could really have good weeks. It's just, you know, it's the conundrum of fantasy football. Try and pick the right one out of that one. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck, man. Rob, I hope we helped you there. But yeah, I'm going to go with Jerick McKinnon, Monty Fournette, and Matt goes Walker, Monty Fournette. Let's see here. Nick in Toronto, who always texts in, appreciate it. Nick, happy New Year. Hi, Matt and show. I need a QB between Tom Brady and Daniel Jones. Who would have ever thought we would have been entertaining that question? And at TE, should I start Mark Andrews, Goddard, or Evan Engram in a half-point PPR? Safe to say Engram is where you're leaning?
I think so. I look at too many mouths to feed in Philly, and I don't know if the rapport between Gardner Minshew and Dallas Goedert is quite there. Evan Ingram's just been way too good to sit at this point. I would even consider Evan Engram, and then if you have he's got a flex issue here too in his second question. So like Dallas Goedert's got to be in that conversation at least. But yeah, I'm not starting Mark Andrews anywhere. I lean Evan Engram there. And for the quarterback, that's a really tough one for me just because I want to say because the Bucks are playing for something here, and I mean, so are the Giants. Giants are at home. So are the Bucks. I think I lean Tom Brady over Daniel Jones, and I can't believe I said that.
Yeah, right. Like, oh man, barely leaning Tom Brady. It sounds so wrong to say, but he has been, considering where you drafted him, after a very good 2021. I think you definitely hope for more. I'll probably like just a smidge go with Brady. Nick's other question: he needs a flex to pick out of, and I think you're right. Like, you can consider Goddard a part of this, even though he didn't ask for it. But he needs a flex to pick out of Miles Sanders, Brian Robinson, Tyler Lockett, or Drake London in a half-point PPR. For me, I think it is a toss-up between B-Rob and Lockett, just because I know Lockett, he missed the last little while. He is going to play today, apparently, with the surgically repaired finger. I think if Lockett plays, you play him, because he has been so good. Having said that, because they are playing the Jets, and we know DJ Reed has been a pretty good player, as well as, obviously, Sauce Gardner, maybe B-Rob is the play, although I don't know if like Miles Sanders being there changes that for you.
No, I'm going with Brian Robinson. I just think the upside is way too good to pass up here. We're talking potentially 20 touches this week. Find me another guy on that list that's going to get 20 touches, because it ain't any of the three. I'll take my upside play here with Brian Robinson.
Let's see here. You know what? There's no kind of like opposing question for this. There's no name on this one either, so please leave your name and location. This one just says, I made it to the dance and I like dances. I need some confirmation here. Still sit Algier. So I guess I just like, just should he start or sit Algier? Ultimately, it depends on who your other guys are, because if you have better options, then obviously you have to start that guy. But I mean, Tyler Algier against the Cardinals, as we discussed to start the show, I do think he is worth a start. But again, it's tough to say, like, you should start him over like blank if we don't know who the other guy is.
Yeah, we can't. I mean, I would start Tyler Algier in a lot of spots, but without knowing what the replacement is, I have no idea where we go with that information.
Let's do one more before we take a quick break, and then we'll get to the rest of the start sits. Let's see here. Andrew in Verdon, Manitoba. Love the analysis as always. Full PPR. Need one wide receiver of these four: DJ Chark, Adam Thielen, Tyler Boyd, or Michael Pittman. Okay, so we did the Lions already. They're playing the Bears. I believe the Vikings are playing the Packers in Lambeau Stadium in Green Bay. Tyler Boyd, the Bengals are playing. Who are the Bengals playing? Oh, yeah, they're playing tomorrow.
Bills on Monday.
That's right. They're playing. I was like, they're not playing today. Right. They're playing tomorrow night on Monday night. And then the Colts are playing the New York Giants, as you just mentioned, in New York. Boy, I guess the most, like, the sexiest option for me is probably DJ Chark, because the Bears are so abysmal, right? Because the Adam Thielen is kind of like the third banana there, as we've discussed with even the fourth banana if you want to include Dalvin Cook. But Tyler Boyd, a little up and down, kind of volatile there. And then Michael Pittman, as much as I love Michael Pittman as a talent, I'm just not sure you can trust Nick Foles right now.
No, and I don't trust Michael Pittman against the Giants secondary. I think this is a pretty clear winner here. It's DJ Chark. He has three of his last four games, he has over 90 yards. He's just been so good. The Bears defense, not so good. I think it's DJ Chark by a significant margin here.
I think so as well. Yeah, I'm going to go Chark. I'm starting Chark in one of my championships. I'm in the finals in two leagues of the five leagues, and I think that is going to be a play for me in one of them. Unfortunately, I got knocked out in some of the other leagues because I played Deion Jackson over Zach Moss. So, it's not an easy pill to swallow.
Oh, we're going to get to that. Yeah. We're going to get to that.
Yeah. Oh, good God. Okay, that does it for the start sits. We'll answer the rest of your start sit questions after the show is done in about 40 minutes time. Let's continue, though, with our start sits here. Actually, Colts at Giants is the next one. I didn't even realize that. Colts at Giants is the one we're doing right now. I guess they're both, there being Zach Moss and Deion Jackson, both in the flex play category. But, like, Deion Jackson must be in the doghouse, right? Because he just, like, barely saw the field in favor of Zach Moss. Maybe that continues today. But, I mean, ultimately speaking, the running backs are probably just more of an attractive option for the Colts based on everything we've seen so far this year from the quarterback position for Indianapolis.
What a disaster that was. Yep. Like, it was a good matchup. You know, they go against the Chargers. They throw up an absolute dud. They score 3 points. Nick Foles was horrible. And, I can't in good conscience recommend starting anyone if Nick Foles is the quarterback. And, like, Deion Jackson getting no carries in that game was one of the most bizarre things that I've ever seen in my life. Like, Zach Moss had 12 carries. The offense just looked horrible. I can't suggest starting anybody in this offense, not even Michael Pittman Jr. at this point.
Yeah, it's really been abysmal. It's been truly abysmal. I hope that you don't have to rely on Zach Moss for your championship weekend. Again, maybe he is your Braxton Berrios this year. I hope he is if you do start him, but again, it's not something we can necessarily count on. Giants-wise, I think Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley are probably the guys you're starting most reliably. Like, I guess you could start like the Darius Slaytons, Richie Jameses, Isaiah Hodgins of the world, but again, they're all flex plays at best for me.
Isaiah Hodgins has been really good. Like, he's wide receiver 14 over the last 3 weeks. He's really excelled with a larger role. I would start him in a flex spot. The Colts are not good against the run, so I mean, that's an easy one for Saquon Barkley if you roster him. But in terms, like, the Colts secondary has been good, but they gave up a lot of yards last week against the Chargers, and yes, Justin Herbert is a better quarterback than Daniel Jones, but they can be had here. And I think that Isaiah Hodgins warrants a flex, but like, he's been better than Darius Slayton over the last 3 weeks. There's no question about it. So I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think Isaiah Hodgins is your Braxton Berrios this week.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll keep that. We'll clip Austin, clip that. We'll play that next week, depending on how Isaiah Hodgins does. No, it's true. The past game, 11 targets, got 8 of them, 89 yards and a score, and had some big catches and some big spots for the Giants as well. Let's continue. Saints at Eagles. And just in case you had not seen this, Jalen Hurts, while he is apparently available to play today, he is not expected to start. So this is going to be the Gardner Minshew show. He is expected to return against the Giants in week 18. That doesn't really help us because we need Hurts this week for the fantasy championship. Having said that, Gardner Minshew is probably like a QB2. Again, I don't know if I want to start Minshew against the Saints defense, but Miles Sanders, AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert are all guys you can start in varying capacities depending on obviously your other options. But Miles Sanders enters this week as the NFL's fifth leading rusher, which I think is actually pretty impressive considering he's been used kind of like not super consistently down the stretch, but he's an RB2 for me. A.J. Brown, WR1, as you might imagine, Dallas Goedert. He's still in the TE1 range, although he's in like the lower TE1 range for me, Matt.
Show, I know we want to. I don't remember if I had Gardner Minshew as QB7 or QB5 last week, but he finished, I believe, as QB5 last week. I think that Gardner Minshew is a top 7 play again this week.
Oh, okay.
If you can hear that, I am pounding the table for Gardner Minshew. I think, listen, that offensive line is so good. They're still playing for something here. Like, they're playing to lock up the division. I know that it feels like a foregone conclusion here, but listen, Gardner Minshew, and I said it, with a good offensive line and good weapons, I like Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew is also playing for a spot next year on some team to start. Can we put Gardner Minshew on the Jets next year? Like, that would be fun. As much as I hate him on the Jets because I'm a Bills fan, I think that Gardner Minshew would be great on the New York Jets. I've got him as another top 7 finish. Dare I say that Gardner Minshew does it yet again.
The mustachioed maestro. Will he deliver again? Marchese certainly thinks so. I'm a little less bullish. Let's put it that way. I'm a little less bullish on Gardner Minshew. Mainly Lane Johnson, Pro Bowl left tackle. He's not going to be out there. So I do wonder how much that has an effect. And not just Minshew. On, like, let's say Miles Sanders certainly as well. But I think until we see what the follow-up from that is, I definitely think he can be started. Certainly a more attractive option than, like, David Blau, right? As we discussed earlier, Tyler Huntley.
Oh, yeah.
As we discussed earlier, Kenny Pickett and so on. Definitely more attractive options than those guys. On the Saints side of things, Alvin Kamara, Chris Olave. Actually, is Chris Olave playing? I don't know if they actually said he is.
He is expected to play, and so is Marshawn Lattimore.
Okay, so if Olave plays, I think you can play him, but because of the hamstring injury, we know those can linger. So, and then on top of that, you have a very talented Eagles defense, even though they have been a little more beatable as of late. I still think Olave is startable, but I got him as like as a WR3 out of sheer caution. You might have to throw caution to the wind in the fantasy championship weekend, but that's kind of where I sit on Olave. And yeah, let's do the victory lap for Marchese. Taysom Hill had a touchdown last week. It took a while. It didn't come right away. I tweeted out like the little like recast thing that has like some of the snippets from the show. And it was on Taysom Hill, and some guy like replied to you and was like, I'm waiting for a Taysom Hill TD, and then he scored. And I'm not kidding. I looked at my phone, like within like 10 seconds, you had replied and said, patience is a virtue, which I gotta say, Matt, that made me laugh.
I can be a jackass sometimes, but I mean, he ended up being really good last week.
Yeah, he was.
And we knew that. At the end of the day, the weather was so horrible in that game between Cleveland and New Orleans. They had no choice but to use him. But to me, it's like, and this is just for anybody out there. When you ask people for information, like starts and sits, and then complain about them after you asked for the information, if the information is incorrect, go fly a kite somewhere, please. Just, you know, go do something else, but don't go to Twitter, because as soon as I saw that, I'm like, I'm not going to respond right away. I'm going to wait to see what happens here. And then I was going to take my L if in fact there was one to be had. Sure enough, there was not one to be had. And that person got exactly what they deserved.
Yeah. He is it's like a weird shape shifting role for Taysom Hill, like part-time quarterback, a rushing guy. He certainly plays the tight end, like sometimes at the very least, like just like lurking around out there. I mean, it's nice when it works out, but it's just terrible when it doesn't. And I mean, more often than not, it doesn't, but it did work out for us at least last week. Let's do one more before we hit a break. Panthers, Bucks. Not a lot of guys outside of the running backs I would start from the Panthers side of things. Like, I guess you can start DJ Moore as maybe a higher end WR3, but it's just the ceiling for all the players on the Panthers offense is just, for me, generally speaking, relatively low, and more so when they're playing the Bucks defense. Having said that, Bucks defense has been more mortal this year than I think you otherwise expected. I have Foreman as a middle RB2, I have Hubbard as a middle RB3, and I have DJ Moore as a high end WR3.
Yeah, the only one that that I've got a little bit higher is DJ Moore. I've got him in as a WR2. So he's wide receiver 24 in points per game over the last 5 weeks, and that includes the 1 week where he left early with the ankle injury, and that also coincides with, dun-dun-dun-dun, Sam Darnold being named the starting quarterback. So I think that just the rapport that those two guys have has been really, really good to see. DJ Moore has excelled. He's had his best numbers when Sam Darnold has been his quarterback. I know that's really weird to say. I know it doesn't make any sense, but that's just fact. So I like him. Even though this matchup might not be as fruitful as some may think, I still think that DJ Moore finishes as a wide receiver too this week.
On the Buck side of things, we tackled the Tom Brady question. I think he is still startable, certainly, but I mean, maybe if you get like more fantasy points from Brady in the last, like, I don't know, 5 minutes of a ball game, you're probably winning every single game this week or this year, because he has been really good in the last couple of minutes and really bad outside of that, essentially. But I think QB2 territory is where he's at for me against the Panthers. Rashad White, maybe a flex play. Leonard Fournette, definitely closer to an RB2. And Godwin and Evans continue to be frustrating because, like, you know, they're very talented, and every week again, like, Mike Evans is like is interfered with on like what would otherwise be like a 60-yard touchdown grab, and then the next play is like I don't know, a Brady sneak or like a Russell Gage catch for a 1 yard or something, right? So because of that, and Mike Evans has been not so great this year from a fantasy perspective, Chris Godwin definitely gets the nod over him for me. But I mean, it's tough to bench Mike Evans because, you know, he's so good and can it really explode at any time.
Yeah. And it's funny that you say that, because we've seen that the Mike Evans makes a big, well, he had a 75 yard touchdown that was dropped earlier in the year, like clear and away Mike Evans is scoring and just flat out dropped the ball. Just been such a tough year for him. But I agree. Like, I've got him as a flex play with upside. I like Chris Godwin better. I agree. Please don't ask us any questions about Russell Gage, because I can't go down that road. I just can't do it. But Leonard Fournette is the guy for me. We thought that Rashad White was going to take over some of the majority of the running back carries and touches. And then Leonard Fournette has 29 touches last week. He had 20 carries and 9 catches. He seems to be the only consistent part of this offense right now in terms of volume and workload. And he's also playing with an injury. And last week, 29 touches. I mean, clearly it wasn't bothering him that much. So I've got Leonard Fournette as a high-end RB2. Even if he get like if he gets remotely close to that number this week, which I think this game is going to be a lot closer than people think, even if he doesn't score, if he's getting 20 to 22 touches, you take that volume every single week that you can.
That's Matt Marchese. I'm Sho Ali. You're listening to The Fantasy Show. We're going to step aside, take a very quick break. When we come back, we have, I think, 6 more games to get to before we get out of here and answer the rest of your questions. So still some time to send us questions on the People's Text Line, 590-590. Straight ahead, though, 6 more games start sits here in Week 17. You're listening to The Fantasy Show, Sho and Matt on the Sportsnet Radio Network. To go on the Sportsnet Radio Network. You're listening to The Fantasy Show. Sho Ali, Matt Marchese here with you to kick off the new year and to help break down your Week 17 Fantasy Football Championship. Injury news and notes, start sits for every single game, and of course your questions on the People's Text Line, 590-590. Name and location is where you can always reach us. We'll get to a bunch of your questions just after the show is done. Wrap up those questions, rather, before the 1 p.m. Eastern kickoff games go later this afternoon. Matt, let's boogie through the last couple of games. Browns at Commanders. We've actually talked about this one quite a lot, I think. Deshaun Watson just doesn't look great. He doesn't look good. He may never look all that great ever again. What a shame on my end. Nick Chubb's struggles in terms of finding the end zone, I think, do coincide with Deshaun Watson. Having said that, you can't ever pretty much bench Nick Chubb because he is Nick Chubb and he has the potential to crack off a touchdown run basically on any carry. So he is an RB2 for me. Amari Cooper is like a WR3. He does see a lot of opportunities, although like the depth of target is not great. So I'm thinking Cooper, WR3, Peoples Jones, maybe a flex play just because he has been very efficient. I'm just not sure how much that stays. And Njoku at TE2. Like the pass catching options are not very sexy for the Browns this week.
Yeah, the only thing that I would say is I would personally flip Donovan Peoples-Jones and Amari Cooper just because Donovan Peoples-Jones has been more consistent. This is a pretty decent matchup against the Commanders secondary, which isn't great. I see like 75 yards from Donovan Peoples-Jones in this one, and dare I say that he also catches a touchdown with that line.
On the Commander side of things, Carson Wentz got his job back after replacing Taylor Heinicke. He was actually having a pretty good year before he got injured, but so maybe he does come in and see some decent opportunities. He threw for 123 yards and a score on just 16 passing attempts, and he completed 12 of them. Like you said, no Gibson does mean that B-Rob probably gets definitely a boost as like the main guy to rush the ball. Who'd have thought that in your fantasy championship you'd be starting Brian Robinson, who started the year on the inactive list because he'd been shot. So good for Brian Robinson getting in there, because I think he could be a guy you didn't expect to start, certainly in championship weekend. Terry McLaurin, I think you're probably starting him every week, even though it is Wentz and not Heinicke, because Heinicke seemed to favor McLaurin a little more. Having said that, the Browns defense just isn't great. Curtis Samuel and Jahan Dotson are the guys who get the biggest boosts, because it just feels as though Wentz favors them more than he does perhaps any other options here.
Jahan Dotson has been great. He has at least 54 yards and a touchdown over the course of his last 3 weeks. He has 5 catches, 4 catches, and 6 catches, and those have gone for 54, 105, and 76 yards. And as I mentioned, a touchdown in each of those games. This is a player that was drafted very high by the Commanders. They really like him to go along with Terry McLaurin. And I know lots of people are kind of clamoring for Curtis Samuel in this one just because he had success with Carson Wentz. But Jahan Dotson is the guy that I would start over Curtis Samuel. I like Jahan Dotson as like a wide receiver 3 with obvious touchdown upside, because the one thing that he does is he does get into the end zone, and I really like him in that spot. And I do like Terry McLaurin, despite the fact that Carson Wentz doesn't seem to like him for whatever reason. But I think this is a good matchup for both of them.
Yeah, I am interested to see who Dotson gets coverage-wise. I know some people are predicting he might see Martin Emerson, who has played pretty well for the Browns. But overall, yeah, I mean, it's hard to bench the hot hand. The Browns do give up the eighth fewest points to wide receivers, but maybe as a flex play for me, I think Dotson is definitely worth taking a look at. 49ers Raiders is the next one here on the docket. Brock Purdy, he's like basically Jimmy G. He's like Jimmy G with a less sexy name and mane of hair, essentially is what I look at when I see Brock Purdy. He is running the 49ers offense very efficiently, which means that you can definitely start Christian McCaffrey. George Kittle has been absolutely phenomenal with Purdy under center, so you're obviously starting him. Brandon Ayuk, I think, is a WR3. I don't think have they already ruled out Debo Samuel? I know there was like a very slim chance he plays, but he's not.
I don't believe that he's playing. No, I believe they ruled him out.
Okay, so with no Debo, yeah, it's pretty much Ayuk. Like, I don't know that anyone's taking the chance on like Juwan Jennings or Ray McLeod even like old Kyle Juszczyk. I don't know if anyone's taking the chance on any of these guys in championship weekend. It's basically Ayuk, Kittle, CMC. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's very, very safe to say. And I actually think Brock Purdy's a must start this week. Last week, 234 passing yards. He had two touchdowns. He did throw an interception. But he has at least he has two touchdowns in every game that he has played in. So, you know, the Miami game where he came in place of Jimmy Garoppolo when he got hurt. So four games, he has two touchdown passes in each of those games. And this is a game the Raiders have zero to play for. They're a tire fire. There's no Chandler Jones. He's out for the rest of the season. It's just a sad sack organization. It's a game that means nothing. I mean, they got Jarrett Stidham starting. I think Brock Purdy is in top 10 place again this week.
No Denzel Perryman, I believe, either, right? So a lot of
a lot of
big options missing for the Raiders on defense as well. So certainly fire up all the big names on the 49ers offense. I guess Josh Jacobs is pretty much the only guy you can start. I know Davante Adams is on this team, but it's just like, how much can you rely on Davante Adams? Like, I guess you have to start him because he is Davante Adams, but I don't know how much you can really feel good about relying on even Josh Jacobs, like really anyone on the Raiders offense, because you know the 49ers defense is nasty already. Even if the team had been playing really well, you'd be hard-pressed to have high expectations for either Adams or Jacobs. And now it's Stidham at QB. Like, you got to imagine you're going to see a lot of very stacked boxes against Jacobs and double coverage against Adams. And they might not even have to do that, given the pass rush might be getting to Stidham pretty early and often here.
Yeah, it's so hard to say to sit Davante Adams. Like, I've got him as a wide receiver three just because there's nobody else really to throw to there. I've got Darren Waller as like a back end tight end one. And while I'm saying all this, it's going to be Hunter Renfro with 9 targets today. So I think Davante Adams is just too good to not have in your, like, it's a really volatile play. I understand that, but it's Davante Adams, right? And I don't know. Jarrett Stidham has something to play for, and I know I'm trying to talk myself into this one. Yeah. I still think you have to play Davante Adams here. Because you know that if he goes, I don't anticipate he's going to go off for 180 yards, but would we be all that surprised if Davante Adams had 95 yards today? I wouldn't, right, just because the one thing that the 49ers do not excel at is covering wide receivers for fantasy purposes. That we have seen all year.
I think my like danger zone thing would be that if it wouldn't shock me necessarily if the 49ers defense was higher scoring than any Raiders player today. I don't think that'd be
I
don't think that'd be any like a huge shock, honestly. If you all things made,
that's
like,
pretty
if,
good.
Like if they had like 11 points and everyone else on the Raiders had like 8 to 10 points, I don't think anyone would be all that surprised. Jets Seahawks, let's get through these last couple ones here. Mike White will be taking the snaps under center for the Jets this weekend, over 19 points in 2 of his 3 starts this season. So I think against the Seahawks defense, which has been okay but not great, I think you can feel good about starting Mike White, certainly as a lower end QB1, probably highest tier of QB2s. Zonovan Knight, Garrett Wilson are probably the only two other guys you're starting here. The Seahawks run defense, I know the last two games for Knight have been bad, but the Seahawks run defense are also are also bad. And the three games he had White as his QB, he was very good, right? So I think you can feel good about Zonovan Knight now that White and Knox at Wilson is at quarterback. And same goes for Garrett Wilson, because, you know, the Seahawks defense has looked statistically good against wide receivers, but that's because in the last couple of games, they've given up a ton of points to tight ends and not wide receivers, because they played George Kittle and Travis Kelce, and those guys just, you know, filled the box score instead of the wide receivers. And even though they are, like, in effect wide receivers for their respective teams. So I think I can feel okay about Garrett Wilson. I have him at WR2, but WR1 potential upside here.
Yeah, I think I have Garrett Wilson in the same vein. I really like him, and praise the Lord in the year of himself 2023 that Mike White is starting a quarterback for the Jets. Thank you so much, because I don't think I could withstand another Zach Wilson start. What a terrible way it would be to start the year to have to watch Zach Wilson play football. Thankfully, we don't have to do that. I'm less bullish on Zonovan Knight just because he has struggled, and it seems like teams have kind of figured it out. But I do agree, Seahawks run defense isn't as great. Like, I think it's a higher volatile flex play for me just because of the struggles. And who knows, maybe it was just because Zach Wilson was starting and the coverages were a little bit different. But I do agree, Mike White, higher end QB2 for me, and I like Garrett Wilson. I'm not bullish on anybody else.
Yeah, Seattle's run defense, bottom five in rushing yards, first downs, and touchdowns allowed. Like, that's absurd, right? So I think, flex play, maybe closer to an RB3. There's potential for higher upside there. But yeah, I mean, I think that's a guy I feel comfortable taking a risk on because of the matchup and because of the quarterback play with Mike White. Seahawks side of things, Geno Smith, I don't mind starting him in a 2 QB league, but in a 1 QB league, I think there might be better matchups just because the Jets have been very, very good. They're top 10 in quarterback pressure and top 5 in quarterback knockdowns. So maybe not the best matchup. Maybe not a lot of hashtag revenge for old Geno against his old team. Kenneth Walker, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, all guys you can certainly start. I think like Tyler Lockett, I'm a little lower on just because he's coming back from injury, but DK Metcalf and Kenneth Walker, I feel okay about starting, even though the Jets defense is a tough matchup. It just depends on who your other options are.
Yeah, I would agree. Despite the matchup, the Seahawks are a very interesting team because they somehow are still in the playoff chase. And I think that with Tyler Lockett coming back, I think that elevates DK Metcalf a little bit because you can't just focus on DK Metcalf. So I like both he and Lockett as like wide receiver 2 plays this week. I have Kenneth Walker as a volume based RB2 with some upside because, again, one of those guys that can break off a large run at any point in time and certainly get into the end zone. So this game, it's not going to be a super high scoring game, but I think there's going to be some good floors from a fantasy points perspective.
We got 3 games left here, man. We have like 6 minutes. So I'm just going to like ask you one question on basically each of these teams. For the Vikings-Packers game, I think you don't need us to tell you to start basically any of these guys outside of Adam Thielen. Like, are you starting him? I have him as a flex play. I don't know that he can be considered higher than a flex play, given that Jefferson, Hawkinson, Cook, and I guess that's really it. Cousins is a QB, so it's kind of out of that conversation. But those 3 guys are all ahead of him, essentially.
Yeah, they are. And I would start Gabe Davis over him. I would start DJ Chark, no question, over him. In a flex spot, like, I would start James Cook over him. So I think that's kind of where we're at. Adam Thielen just can't be trusted. The same goes for KJ Osborne. Just a quick thing. Do you think that Green Bay learned their lesson from earlier when Justin Jefferson went off for 9 catches, 184 yards, and 2 touchdowns? Like, maybe Jair Alexander sees a little bit more of him this week?
You would think so. Like, yeah, I know he called him, I think he said, like, it was a fluke game or whatever last time they were out. So you would hope so. Are you starting A.J. Dillon this week? I know apparently Aaron Jones is going to be back, and he will play and get a lot of snaps today. So if that's the case, are you starting A.J. Dillon at all?
I actually am. The last time these 2 teams played, Dillon led the Packers both in rushing and receiving. Now, do I think that happens this week? No. By the way, Christian Watson, he's going to test out his injury before the game. I would not be starting him this week just because I think there's really good chance for re-injury. This is a game where I think Romeo Dubs ends up being a solid contributor, especially if Watson is out. But I'm starting both Dylan and Aaron Jones in this one. The Vikings just aren't good against the run, and I think it's a good spot for both of them.
Rams-Chargers is the Sunday nighter, and I'm not sure if Baker Mayfield is for real at this point, but I do think that Cam Akers, if we talk about guys coming back from the dead, I really do think Cam Akers is someone you can start as an RB2. Like, I know, not just because he had a bunch of touchdowns last week, it's certainly a part of it, but he's just not seeing significant competition for touches at the running back spot from anyone, really, right? So it's Cam Akers. So in the championship weekend, if you're hurting at running back or you have bad matchups for other guys, I really do think Cam Akers can be started.
Well, not only that, he's going up against the Chargers run defense, which is not very good. And because Baker Mayfield has looked competent since taking over the starting role with the Rams, I think that's what's helped Cam Akers. Like, if there was ever a player to epitomize the Undertaker coming out of the coffin gif, it is absolutely Cam Akers over the last 3 or 4 weeks. I'm shocked that we're here because there was talk about trading him. Now they're talking about keeping him. I think Cam Akers is a great RB2 play this week.
And Tyler Higbee, I'll just say this on Higbee. They're not like the tenure with Mayfield with the Rams is so short. I don't know if you can draw like super meaningful conclusions like right now. Like maybe this continues, but it's just in week 17, I think I'd rather take a dice roll on a different tight end just because he exploded, but it was the most targets he had seen since week 4, and he literally tripled his TD total for the entire season last week. So he's definitely like if you're streaming because someone's injured or something, if you lost like Dulcich, let's say, then you can probably go with Higbee, but there might be other, like, I don't know if he's like a plug and or set and forget, plug and play type option just yet. For the Charger side of things, yeah, you don't need us to tell you to start. I honestly don't think you need us to tell you to start anyone. I think maybe Gerald Everett is the only real question mark, because most people are starting Herbert, Eckler, Allen, and Mike Williams.
Yeah, and I'm not starting Gerald Everett. The one thing that the Rams have actually been pretty decent against opposing tight ends, so I'm not starting him there. Listen, Keenan Allen was great last week. It's a good matchup because the Rams, their pass defense just isn't very good. They're not playing for anything right now. They're playing to get a better draft pick for the Detroit Lions is basically what they're playing for right now. So, this game doesn't really mean much for the Chargers either, other than potential playoff seeding, but even that's a bit of a stretch because they're not going to win their division, and they're going to probably stay ahead of the other wild card teams. So, not much to play for here, but I do think that all those guys, the regular suspects, have a really good week.
Bills-Bengals, your Buffalo Bills, is the Monday nighter. I think this is going to be the most fun game of the week. This is going to be a lot. Two of the best teams in the NFL, certainly the AFC. When you talk about the upper echelon of teams, it's the Bills and Bengals alongside the Chiefs, right? So this is going to be a fun one. Even against the Bills defense, I think Burrow, Mixon, Chase, Higgins are all guys you can start. Actually, apart from those guys, I don't really know that you're going to start like Pirine or Boyd or Hayden Hurst. Like those guys, I guess you can have the conversation, but apart from Chase and Higgins, I don't really know that you're feeling good about starting any other Bengals pass catchers.
Well, I can tell you this. Tyler Boyd called out the Bills secondary saying they're vanilla and they're not nearly as good as what they've seen. So that's never bulletin board material.
Why do that?
Yeah,
like, why do that?
That's a bad idea. So I think that the Bills secondary comes up. I'm still, again, like you said, starting Chase, starting Higgins. I think Joe Mixon has potential bust this week. The Bills are allowing the 23rd most points per game to opposing running backs, and they've shut down some really good ones despite their injuries, despite, you know, they don't have Von Miller, although he's more effective in the passing game. But I think that there is some serious bust potential for Joe Mixon here. Like, I've got him as a mid-range RB2, and it could be worse than that.
Yeah, I got him as apart from the 55-point blowout, he has top 20 points just once, right? So I think ultimately, yeah, I have him as a middling RB2 as well. And I think there's going to be a lot of passes thrown to Chase and Higgins today by Joe Burrow. And on the Bills side of things, I know Josh Allen has been from a visual perspective, has not been super sexy, but he's been a top 10 quarterback in all but 3 weeks. And he's been a top 5 QB in back-to-back weeks. So you start, I know the Bengals have been good, but I think you're obviously starting Josh Allen. You're obviously starting Stephon Diggs. Dawson Knox, Gabe Davis, what are you doing with those guys? I think Singletary and Cook are both flex plays for me, just because I do think they'll be airing out the ball in this one. But I think Davis and Knox are the question marks for me more than the running backs.
Yeah, I think I've got Davis as a flex play. the Knox one is interesting because, like, I would start him over, like, Tyler Higbee. I would start him over Gerald Everett. I'd probably start him over David Njoku at this point. Darren Waller. Like, we're getting down the list here of guys that you would start. So I think that if you are streaming or you know what? Here's another one. I'll start Dawson Knox over Mark Andrews this week because I trust the quarterback more. So there's another one. And Dawson Knox, I believe, is like tight end 4 or something over the last 3 or 4 weeks. He's been a lot better, been more involved. I think you can start Dawson Knox this week as a tight end.
That is Matt Marchese. I'm Show Ali. You've been listening to The Fantasy Show, the first New Year's edition of the program. We'll be back next week. Best of luck to everyone in your fantasy football championship. I wish you all the best of luck. Please let us know at 590-590 how you did. The People's Text Line is always open. We'll answer all of those questions straight ahead. But again, you've been listening to The Fantasy Show. Show Ali and Matt Marchese. We'll be back next Sunday on the Sportsnet Radio Network.